Nielsen on alto sax with Blues Walk. It is the title track of his 1958 album, Blues Walk. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we pick up from where we left off with each other yesterday. I'll tell you, I have a theory that without anybody saying so, I think a large part of this country is in a state of depression. We look around and we see, is this really what this country has come to? Is this what we have to live through? We have an insane president still trying to hold on to power, still believing that he's not out of office. We have parties that are doing some very strange things to assert themselves, to assert the new, supposedly, the new power in town. It's very depressing. And the thing is, you can't do very much about it. You can't fix this. You can't fix this level of stupid. You just can't fix it. It's beyond fixing. But you can try to fix you. You can try to overhaul you. And by overhauling, I mean your thinking. You can try your very best to reorder your priorities and see things for what they are, which is the number one priority, and then to fashion for yourself how you're going to cope with this, because it's going to last a while. Mediocrity, stupidity, larceny, crookedness, all of this is what we will have to deal with for a very long time. And that translates to really bad policy. No matter how you look at it, that's what we're in store for. Just really bad policy, locally, nationally, internationally. We're making bad decisions because we have the wrong people in office. And even though you'd think they'd have a chance to reevaluate or to listen to the advice they may be getting from one or two people, good advice, it's not nearly as attractive as the reality in their heads. I'm sitting in the catbird seat. I can make all kinds of things happen. So my concentration would be making those things happen that will happen for me personally, which is a mark of a corrupt administration, corrupt government, corrupt people are there. And we will have to weather the storm. We have to weather the storm. There are so many people so wrong for the job, but they occupy strategic places, and there is no intention of yielding where they are. They like it. They like the power they have, and they can make things happen. We only need to recite the Trump annals. We've seen enough of it to know what's been happening in his administration. But there is a way we can fix things, if you can put it that way. And the way we can fix things is we fix ourselves. What do I mean by that? I mean that we become realistic about the limits of our power, but realistic about the fact that we have power. We just haven't been using it the right way. We don't put power to serve our interests and needs. We don't see power that way. We see ourselves more so as servants of power, not as powerful. And we've spent a lot of years in service of power. And when you add up the years, you see how long we have spent, how long we've been in the vineyards serving power, serving the interests of the powerful. And then we look on the other side of the ledger and we see that we have not amassed much power to get done the things that are important to us. We want a healthy nation. We want people to earn a decent wage. We want people to realize their modest hopes and dreams and aspirations. That's what we want. In the end, that's what everybody wants. Except we live in an age in which people, some people, a whole class of people say, sorry, you're not entitled even to that. I'm entitled to what you have, and I'll see to it that I get it. I'll deprive you of these mundane things, a decent job, a decent place to live, a reasonably safe community, a good school for your children. These are, for most Americans, these are the important things in life, but they will never attain it. Because we have intervening interests, and their thing is, I don't just want some, I want all. I am owed that. Why? Because I said so. And when I get all, I'm on to the other quest. I want more all. You have all, but it's not enough. You want more all. And the cracks widen. The breaches open wider between rich and poor, between privileged people and people who have no privileges at all. And the propaganda being sold is, we're all Americans. No, we're not. We're all Americans. No, we are not. Because what you're after, in effect, is the little that I have. You want that too. That is your goal, ultimately, to have everything. Everybody's everything. That's your goal. It's not enough to have a little house and a decent job, a little bit of money in the bank. That's not enough. You have to have all now. This is a very vicious strain of America. And they make no bones about it. They want all. They want everything. They want what they have, and they want all of what everybody else has. And they disguise this as a revision, a slight revision of the so-called American dream. But look at it closely and you see this is a nightmare. It's not a dream at all. So we have to prepare ourselves that it's going to get really, really bad. Why? Because that will be the operative philosophy for many years to come in the United States. And there will be no apologies about it. There will be no embarrassment about making it known. That's what they're after. They're coming for what little you have. They want to take it. They want you to suffer. Why? Because while you're suffering, they're feeling better. They feel better because they're not suffering. But they can make you suffer. And that is an expression of the power they have achieved. They have achieved the power to so alter people's lives. That in itself is a kind of aphrodisiac. Look how miserable I could make people. But it's okay, because I am doing very, very well. You have an almost obscene expression of self-interest, which will permeate everything. It's all about me, what I want, what I need to have. What I'm going to get. So that means communities will be let go. The I will be the dominant factor of life in the United States for quite a while yet. There's no concept of community. Community can't exist. It won't work in an atmosphere like that, dominated by I, me, my. And yet, this is going to be the doctrine that will be preached. I got mine, you get yours. Don't expect me to now extend myself. I am seeing to me and mine. I don't have time to share anything. I'm not interested in community. I'm not interested in putting my two cents in a pot that others can have something. No, no, no. They're not interested in that. This is where we will be for quite some time. I'm not kidding. So brace yourself. This will be the dominant philosophy. In many ways, it already is. But it will be an excusable offense, if you will, because you're simply minding your business. You're simply taking care of you and yours, even though it requires you taking from others. The government has already shown its penchant for predation. We need our nuclear weapons. You, therefore, don't get Social Security. You see, it balances out. We need to give ourselves and our friends lucrative contracts for no reason other than there's a pool of money and we have access to it. We're not entertaining the idea that it's time to to use that money for other things. Look at what's going on with this pandemic. People are fighting us. The government is fighting its own people to see how little they can give in order to, quote, fight the coronavirus. No, they don't want to do that. They want the people to suffer, because if these people who have, in fact, failed in life, listen to my words now, they start equating poverty with a kind of genetic failure, strain of failures. And pretty soon, they will decide that, look, we can't keep trying to save these people. Let them basically die, or go someplace else, or do something, disappear. We cannot carry them. They have no ambition. They have no drive. In other words, they're kind of alien in the respect that they don't live the American way, which is to see to yourself and those you say are important to you. But hear me well. I'm not suggesting I'm some kind of prophet, but I think just about everybody has seen glimpses of what is to come. A very hard society. A very unforgiving society. Look at this last few weeks, and you get an idea of where the thinking is going in terms of government. Some people have a plum assignment. They've landed smack dab in the middle of trillions of dollars, and they have power over how those trillions of dollars would be spent. That's great power. The last thing they're going to say or do is say, we have surplus. This is a time that we should properly reinvest our surplus, improve things across the board, give everybody a leg up, create a more just society, a more equal society. They're not asking for much. They want schools. They want jobs. We want an American life, but we are crazy. That life doesn't exist. That's in your mind, but that's not in reality. So I want to pose a question to you today. Question I want you to think about and to address today is whether recent events are encouraging you to change your political attitude and your choices, your life choices. If so, share with us, if you will, in what ways you know yourself to be going through a change, a change in political attitude. What caused it? or what is causing it? And where are you moving from politically? Where are you? What will, from our own observation, what will be happening? And how do we get ready? How do we put ourselves in alignment with what we see and what we know must happen if this is to be a just society? What are your ideas? Let's hear what you have to say at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Even in the midst of this chaos, I could almost bet that this is not something we are considering. This is not something we are thinking about. We are so pressed to find answers to the immediate situation. We don't have time to think for, 2 weeks down the road. And yet, that is exactly where life is challenging us to go beyond the now. Because if you look at it, all things suggest that even if we don't have plans, some people have plans, the government has plans, and we will be caught up in a situation where we are caught unawares of what it is we're supposed to be and do in that time frame. What is going to be happening? Will we be prepared for it? It's not too hard an exercise, but it's worth undertaking. You have to start thinking about yourself in a different way. And that is, you're part of a political entity called the people. And yet we see time and again that this political entity, though a lot of things are riding on it, we have no input. We're simply the victims of decisions that are made. Are we going to change that? And if so, how? Tony from Orlando, you're on the air. You get us started today. Hello.
Hi, Idris.
Hi.
As far as my personal experience with politics, I grew up in New Jersey, which is a Democrat blue state, and I was a Democrat for a while until I got tired of being stuck in a rut, which is where the Democrat Party likes to keep their constituents. They like to keep you always begging for food, begging for housing, begging for just to be able to live. And I got tired of that, you know. So in the rebellion towards of that, I became a Republican. I was a Republican for many years, just to rebel against the fact that Democrats were supposed to be, or at least they say they're the party of the little guy, when in fact they keep the little guy little, which is the fact of the matter. In many blue states, like New Jersey, for example, I grew up in the ghetto, and in each county, like, for example, the county that I grew up in, you had maybe 10, 12 municipalities, and maybe two ghettos within those 12 municipalities. The other 10 municipalities were affluent neighborhoods, affluent towns, which had high-rated schools. Me being from a ghetto municipality, I was not allowed to attend any of those schools. Even though all of those municipalities were Democrat, okay? The whole county was a Democrat county. Same thing with the libraries. You weren't allowed to check out books from the town next over because you lived in the ghetto and the town next over was an affluent town. That was modern day segregation to me. And I experienced that. And I felt like I could not move up because I grew up, just because I grew up poor, which is something that you had talked about earlier about how Republicans, that's the problem they have, where just because you're born poor, just because you're a person of color, automatically it's your fault. You were born that way and, you know, you must be doing something wrong. That's why you're poor. That's why you're not doing well. They don't look at the fact of the matter that you have to deal with obstacles in life. But besides that, I was a Republican for a long time until Mr. Trump came along and he exposed that, which what you just said, that is the problem with the Republican Party. Everything is black and white. Either you're born perfect, or if things don't go right, it's because you caused them to not go right. And, you know, I can't change the color of my skin. You know, I'm born the way I was born. So if you can't accept me for how I am or who I am, then that's your problem. And now that's why I've left the Republican Party. And I have become, I guess, what you will call a true independent, where I have no allegiance to any of the two parties.
Did that make you feel uncertain that you moved away from one party, you went to another party, and you found that it was not a solution, it was not a good choice, and now you're with a third party? Do you think you've made the right move?
I believe so. For me, I believe so. Besides politics, I went through something similar with religion many years ago. I was born a Christian, and I explored the world of Islam and, you know, in search for something more enlightening. And I experienced the same thing. I realized that religion is very similar to politics. You know, nothing is guaranteed, you know, none of these systems are perfect. None of them are perfect. And you're not going to say, well, I'm a Democrat, and so my life is perfect because I'm a Democrat. Or, you know, because I claim to be a Christian, your life is perfect. None of these things, none of these names and titles and organizations solve your problem. You have to solve your own problem. You have to live your own life. You cannot depend on these systems to make you happy. Happiness comes from within.
So how does being an independent get you closer to that goal?
It allows me to open my mind. It allows me to realize there are some good things over here and there are some good things over there, and I respect them all. You know, I have the same opinion towards religion. You know, being that I went from being a Christian to being a Muslim to being now, I don't associate with any religion at all. I respect them all. I understand they have a place in life. But being that I'm independent of them, and the fact that I'm not ignorant of them, I'm aware of them now, because that's a very important thing. You cannot just be ignorant of something. You have to be aware of these things, that these things do exist. You have to be aware of your surroundings, and you have to respect them. But you can't blindly follow people. You have to be independent-minded, open-minded, and that allows you to see beyond what people want you to believe in, because that is their goal, is to entrap you in the system which whatever it might be, whether it's religion, politics, whatever, and use you as a pawn.
Using your own experience, do you think that too many people are exactly where you were some years ago, where you thought you fit here because you believed this, or you thought you fit that because it was compatible with what you believe? Do you think people are caught in a kind of trap where they don't quite know what to do? They don't quite know what they're thinking. They don't know what the label is that they're wearing anymore. Do you think that this is going to get more and more prevalent, where people are beginning to reassess where they are politically, especially, or in life, based on the political choices that they make?
I think so. I think Donald Trump, he's one of those figures that has, kind of like how the coronavirus is doing that exact same thing with the in terms of the economy, and how corporations are, they take a bad situation and benefit from it. They try to adapt and do without, and but still make more money. The same thing with Donald Trump. These type of figures, they have learned to capitalize on people's divisions, and in it's become so bad. I mean, we're talking about a president that lost an election that is trying to overturn his loss. And people, I mean, there's about almost 80 million people that believe in what he's saying till the bitter end. It's not until, I guess, the day after, you know, I guess until January 21st is when they're going to wake up out of their spell, kind of similar to what happened in Germany when Hitler, when he took his life, they say. He committed suicide, and Germany fell. Then they all, I guess, snapped out of it. It's what they call a herd mentality. You know, once they get out of this herd mentality, I believe many of those people might do exactly what you say, might snap out of it and wake up and realize, wait a minute, we were all fooled. So maybe there's an opportunity within that bunch of people to wake up.
Thanks, Tony, for contributing today very meaningfully. Thank you so much. 888-874-4888. We are asking a question today. Have recent events caused you to reevaluate what you're thinking about your own future? Have these recent events encouraged you to change your political attitude and your choices? If so, in what ways has that happened, or is that happening? And in what ways do you see a change coming through, where you believe you're more enlightened, you believe you have to examine certain things and re-examine certain things to see whether you were, you were hoodwinked, whether you became a cog in somebody's massive wheel? But did it yield you anything? Did it do for you anything that you thought would be accomplished by virtue of your alliance, one way or the other? 888-874-4888. It's a very important question. Will from New York City, you're on the air.
Oh, good afternoon. And a very interesting program you have here.
Thank you.
It is.
Thank you.
I tend to believe more in what you're saying, that We are programmed as a people. We are programmed, and it shows up in many different ways in keeping in alignment with what you're saying there. Take, for example, what time is it now? What is the time of the day now?
Well, I have 1:37.
Good. I have 2:37. Now, the programming is this, that the majority of people believe you could actually turn the clock back or forward when you're told to do so. So, is a psychological programming of the mind, and it goes in step with everything else that you say. Black people started off in the political system here as Republicans. We were heavily in the Republican Party. Then the Democrats would belong to the slave owners and stuff from the South. That switched. Well, they both colluded and kicked black people to the curb, but we still didn't have enough sense to form a party then. We still don't have enough sense to do that today. We stay with these people that have been using and abusing us for all these centuries and expecting to change. The program is encouraging in the sense that, to me, we could see more and more of that programming taking place in every aspect of life, including this COVID pandemic. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening. I'm listening very intently.
Oh, sorry. Including the COVID pandemic. This thing was planned and organized, say, within the last 5 years. And it is easily traceable. Yes, the Chinese...
Well, I don't know that you could prove that. I know that you have it as a theory. But in the end, that's not really what we're discussing. We're discussing what is causing you to reevaluate your political orientation right now, if anything is causing it?
Well, the fact that we've been used and abused under the political systems of colonialism, which in no way tend to free the underclass, the so-called underclass. They need an underclass to keep their system in place. And we, the underclass, are being forced into a position. One, like Malcolm said, you either get your own party or there's revolution. You don't have much choices here. As far as the revolution go, we're being used again by the press or whoever, but we're being used, we're being manipulated, just like we are manipulated in the one-party system with two wings. But I thank you for your program. Maybe other people want to call in and share their opinion, but this is a very interesting program, and thank you for being on today.
Thank you, Will, for joining us and contributing. I really appreciate it. Sister Pat from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you, Miss Lee?
Fine, thank you.
Okay. Just trying to respond to your question, the political growth. And I have to say that I, too, started out very young, being involved in local politics, even to the extent where I was involved before I was actually old enough to vote. But as I grew, this whole thing came to me that being shared with, you know, other people who are more mature in the political world that this, like the gentleman said, this party politics, two wings on the same bird is going to land in the same place. And I looked at it and said that, you know, I don't think we need to invest too much in the Fortune 500 corporations of the Republicans or the Democrats. Neither one of them are going to actually get us to where we need to be. And through the years, like I said, I grew a little more. And I remember Kwame Ture, he used to use this term, petty bourgeois politics. And, you know, when he said these things, you know, I'm listening, and I said, yeah, he has a better understanding. And I jump ship. I don't get involved so much in politics from the Democrat or Republican standpoint. I dabbled more with an independent place, and being part of the United African Movement, it gave me an opportunity to say that there's a possibility of moving forward and creating our own political party. And I've had an opportunity to work with an independent political party, the Freedom Party. And I grew a little more. And when I'm sitting home conversating with family and friends, you know, I share with them, you know, and more of them have been moved off the pod, the Democratic plantation, and they've actually changed their affiliation to what we call non-party political affiliates. So, you know, I guess it's a growing thing that you, from within your own group, you move forward, and hopefully we can expand it further outward. But along with the question of where you are today and what do you see, I just see hope. I see hope. But I also see the trickery. There's a lot of planning with the opposition to get not just our people. I'm not using our people as just black people or African Caribbean people, but I'm just saying the people who they're claiming are the shiftless and lazy, and those who can't make their bones, they've already put a bunch of non-black people in that same boat. You can't make your bones, you're in the same boat. Out there in the ocean with a hole in it, so you're going to drown with the rest of them. I just say that I do see hope. I see a better horizon, but maybe not in this generation, not in my generation, but in another generation or so, that this all will change again, because it always changes. It never staying the same.
Do you feel where you are now is a definitive break from where you used to be?
Definitely. Where I was naive. I was naive. I've grown. I've surrounded myself with people who share their knowledge. And a lot of it, you don't really have to go into no hardcore political dictionary. Just look and see 5 years, 10 years down from before to what you see today. This is being shaped by hands. This is not haphazard. All of this stuff is being done by design. And unless you can fold back some of the layers and see with clear vision, you won't get caught up in a trap. That doesn't mean that you won't be part of the plan to keep everybody in such a depressed state. But I think that knowing that I know what I know now, I'm able to look beyond the game that's being played on all of us. Like you said before, people bombed are going to have to suffer for somebody's SNAP benefits. And why should people SNAP benefits be sacrificed for somebody's billion-dollar airplane for mass destruction? You know, that's not what we should, as a group of people, be looking to say that a woman who needs SNAP her children shouldn't eat because somebody need a $1 billion plane and a hangar for mass weapons or whatever it is they claim they need the money for, $600 benefit over somebody else's golden parachute.
You set them up for them. You certainly have. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing. Chris from West Palm Beach, you're on the air.
Nutrice in the audience, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
I'm well. So, I heard the last... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was asking, how do you address the question of whether the recent events that we all have been experiencing have encouraged us, not just in the last couple of months, but in a couple of years, even decades, have encouraged you to change political attitude and choices? And if so, in what ways?
The caller, the last caller, the woman before me, along with the gentleman before her, they basically, they captured most of what I wanted to say. I mean, Utrice, I don't know if you remember, but I've been listening to you since I was a kid, literally, since I was a kid in the car being told to shut up because you were on the radio.
Thanks a lot for dating me here.
Yes, well, I'm dating myself, too.
It's all right.
But I just realized, sorry, can you hear me now, Utrice?
Yes, I can.
Okay. No, I just think there needs to be an all-out rejection of all the things that we used to believe and were taught. Because as you, I don't know, 2020, you know, given that we're under this pandemic, I don't know. I've done a lot of research this whole entire year being home, just looking at documents, reading stuff, looking at videos, a combination of comparing what I'm finding versus traditional news media information. There's a lot of things that we need to come to terms with, and we're never going to be told the truth by stations such as a CNN or MSNBC. So we have to start accepting that, you know, we've been lied to about a lot of things, and that things are improving or changing because we're still under the belief that we need to listen to the known liars and criminals. It's wild. I mean, perfect example is this PCR test. Dr. Carrie Mullis said his test is meant, it's a tool for research, not a diagnostic tool, yet we're using this test to diagnose people with the virus that hasn't been isolated. And I know everybody feels one way or another, but it's not a time for your feelings. It's a time to come to terms with the facts.
So you're still evolving in this area of pursuing.
Correct.
Okay. How far have you come?
That's such a loaded question, Utrice. How far have I come? I would say,
yes,
I'm at the point where I don't believe anything anymore, in that I don't believe anything I was taught coming up, the things I've heard. I mean, obviously within reason, but just a lot of the things we've seen and heard, there's been the hidden hand is now a little bit more revealed to me, and that certain things have been manipulated and not everything looks to be the way it is. Like, for instance, with the Black Lives Matter movement, we've seen that in the street. Everyone yells Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. But yet in reality, let's even take the Democrats, for instance, this current group of Democrats, they have no interest in helping Black people. And their leader now, Joe Biden, is making that evidently clear that he has no interest in entertaining you outside of a slogan. I mean, he said Russia and their cyber attack is the number one issue for him coming into office. Okay, fine. The second thing is, oh, the LGBTQ community. Okay, fine. You guys just have spent the last 3.5 years saying how black people are the backbone of your party. You have nothing to do for them? Nothing? I mean, we're told that the we're told as minorities that the Republicans are the number one impediment to our progress, at least legislatively. That's not the case. I see the Democrats working with the Republicans quite fine on a number of issues. Just not when it comes to the people. And it doesn't necessarily have to be only black people, but like, you know, the working class people. They have no design to do any of it.
You're suggesting something from your own observation. You come to certain conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
How close are you to making a definitive decision as to where you fit?
I'm very close, like extremely close, like probably near the finish line. It's at the point, I mean, look, I have a young kid. They're playing games with this vaccine stuff. Am I supposed to subject my kid to this thing that's not even approved by the FDA? Not that they're a reputable organization anyway, but just even for just as a show, they won't even approve the vaccine, right? It's only approved for emergency use. It's not been approved. So I'm supposed to stick my kid with this? So what am I supposed to do? What are any of us supposed to do? So I just think it's something we need to pay very close attention to. And when you look at these people, they're very devilish. And I say that figuratively and literally. They really are. And, you know, as you start to, like I say, when you start to look at things, it just starts popping out on a page at you. It's like it's been there the whole time and we just didn't see it or have been told to ignore it, or that these things are theories and that we shouldn't look at them. But when you start to take a serious look at things, even if you look at it with the skeptical eye and say, well, I'm going to look at this and I'm going to hold on to the thought that this is not real and it's nonsense. Well, when you start comparing that against reality, it's like, well, maybe it's not nonsense after all. I mean, we have to look at the connections, follow them. I'm sorry, go ahead. To you,
I like the fact that you haven't given up the search. You haven't given up this quest to investigate and to figure out what you do after that. But you are in process. I like that.
Yes.
I think it's very, very enlightening and very encouraging. And I hope many more would join you on this personal quest to find out, where do they belong? What is it that they are supposed to do for the next generation?
I think on some level, we're supposed to come together, not necessarily to fight anybody, to maybe create our own thing.
Well, thank you very much for calling in and contributing today.
Thank you, Therese. Randy, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you. Randy, you're on the air from New Jersey. I hate to tell you, but you don't have too much time, but you do have some time.
Well, thank you very much for taking the call. I'd like to thank all of
you. I can barely hear you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is that better? I want to thank you for taking the call and thank the listeners, especially the comment that the gentleman who just made, who just spoke before me, where he said we have to come together. Being very brief, I've been involved in politics for a very long time, running GOTV campaigns, get out the vote, working with independent candidates, working with Republicans, working with Democrats. What it really boils down to is not just voting every 2 years or every 4 years. It's about what we do every day when we vote with our money. If we begin to look at how we spend our money and choose to spend our money in places that are not necessarily the large corporations that are influencing the policies in the government, whether it be at the local, regional, or national level, we can then begin to control the dynamics of our daily living circumstances. So when we look at how we spend money for food, takeout food, clothing, entertainment, gas, moving around, traveling, we need to look at how those dollars that we spend are being used against our own self-interest. If we begin to do that, to take a good look at that, then we can get back to the point that you made with in terms of how we are powerful, but how we don't understand how our power is being used against us. Or better, let me put it this way, how we can then use our power more effectively to meet the goals and objectives that's going to help our quality of life.
Thank you. Thanks so much for calling in, and welcome. I don't remember talking with you before. Thanks so much for calling in. Thank you all for contributing. It is, for me, a classroom. Every time we open up the microphones and have people sharing their thoughts, we learn so much. And I want to thank you for keeping it at a high level so that everybody could get it, everybody could understand. We'll reach each other again tomorrow and do some more talking. Bye-bye.